What's up, everybody? It's Megan here with the Friday episode of our Student Loan Planner podcast, Financially Free Fridays. And I am looking forward to chatting with you guys today about financial goals, how writing your financial goals down on paper or digitally online increase your chances at achieving those financial goals. Because if you don't write it down, do you even set a goal? That's the question. Science says probably not, and you're probably not going to achieve it if it's not written down. And there's a couple other things that go along with this we will chat about. And there's a few different sources that actually cite that if a goal is written down, your goals being achieved are 33 to 42% more likely to be achieved and compared to those that simply just think about those goals or have them like in their heads internally. And I've had an interesting experience in just my own life recently with setting some goals. They relate to fitness, so I think I'm going to have a corresponding relationship here between financial goals as a professional, because I do this for a living, and try to relate them to this fitness goal that I made for myself and how I could really see the impact. Because I know, I believe, and my job is to coach folks to write down their financial goals and to articulate their financial goals and work towards them, right? That is my job. So I talk about that all the time. And I do that myself. It's kind of ingrained in me. But I recently had the experience of setting some personal fitness goals for myself. And I've been an avid gym person for maybe 15 years now. Off and on, I've had some seasons, of course, where I wasn't going to the gym as actively. But generally, I've stayed pretty healthy, pretty active. And I've always, you know, lifted weights, worked out, but I've never been really good at cardio. And one of my goals for this year was I wanted to get really good at running. I wanted to be one of those people that said, hey, I'm going to go for a quick run and not feel like death, you know, when I got back to the house. I want to be one of those people really bad. And I know cardiovascular health is extremely important overall. And so I just want to be healthier in that way. So for years, I've been saying that I want to get better at running. I want to be a better runner. I want to be this person. And for years, I was not seeing progress on that at all. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and how that relates to the financial goals that you might be setting for yourself or telling yourself and kind of mentally thinking about, but not actually putting words on paper, goals on paper to accomplish those things. So let's jump in to the meat and potatoes of today. We're going to cover why written financial goals work, the different styles of financial plans or written financial plans you could have, and how to make it actionable. So let's dive in first to talk about why writing down your financial goals really work. First and foremost, I would say writing down your financial goals, they give you clarity. They give you clarity and focus. Really defining your goals forces you to get really specific about what you want. Instead of just vaguely saying, you know, I want to save more or I want to invest better. Mine in the past for my personal fitness goal was I want to be a runner. That's not super specific, right? We talk about SMART goals on this podcast, which again stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. And that's going to be the same for what we're going to be talking about today. So this is super different, but having specific goals and things that you can track, that's going to be one of my other points here in a second, but the clarity is what's really important. So instead of saying, you know, I want to save more, maybe the conversation is, I want to max out my Roth IRA this year. And we know that the max for this year is $7,000. So that gives us a specific measurable goal, gives us a timeline. It's relevant because it's your financial goal. And that's something that we can put down on paper and check off if we've achieved that. So clarity and focus. Next thing that makes written financial goals really valuable is it gives you accountability. Seeing your goals in writing makes them feel more real. We actually hear this a lot when folks tell us that they spend in cash. This is kind of a weird correlation, but when you spend in cash, it feels more real to to be spending money, right? Because you're giving somebody a $20 bill or a $100 bill or whatever it is. You're seeing it leave your hand. You're giving it to the cashier or to the person you're paying. It feels more real. Writing down your goals can feel the same way. Putting that down on paper or putting that into an Excel document or a Word document on your computer or even an email to yourself can make the goals feel more real to you, and it increases your commitment to follow through. So in my fitness journey, I started to define what being a runner meant. And that meant for me, I want to run a 5K. So what I did is I enlisted the help of the internet, you know, as we all do. And I wanted to build out a plan to help me build up my endurance to get to a point where I could easily run a 10K. I'm not trying to be the first in line, but I just want to run it consistently, not have to stop and feel good afterwards, like be able to go get brunch and not have to go home and take a nap. So what I did was I wrote out a 6-week calendar on how I was going to run each week, how many miles I was going to run each week, and how each week I was going to progressively increase the mileage. And it wasn't a huge jump, you know, from day to day or from week to week, because I didn't want to strain myself too much, but it was a specific, you know, measurable goal to increase that mileage for myself. And then the accountability was looking at that calendar and seeing all the days that I had written out that I had planned on running for. And my accountability partner is that calendar literally taped to my bathroom mirror right now. I look at it every morning when I'm brushing my teeth and fixing my hair and getting ready for the day. And I'm going to look at that and know that, okay, it's Tuesday. I'm supposed to run X amount of miles today. That's my goal. And if I didn't do that tomorrow when I brush my teeth, I'm not going to feel great about it, right? I'm going to look at that missed day or that missed goal, that one step towards my goal of becoming a runner, and I'm going to feel a type of way about it. So that's the same with your own financial goals. Having accountability, seeing the goals, maybe writing out that plan itself or kind of the baby steps to get there and not being able to check off that, yep, I did that, or yep, I started my progress towards that goal. That is something that can be really powerful. Something else that makes writing down your financial goals really valuable: it gives you some better decision-making skills. When you have a clear financial plan, a clear financial target, it's easier to prioritize your spending, your investing, your savings in a way that aligns with that bigger picture goal. I say a lot, and you're probably annoyed that I'm saying it again right now, but being grounded in your goals is really, really helpful. And that, along with this, you know, writing out your goals can give you some better decision-making power. It makes decisions easier for you over time because we're not saying no to something. We're saying yes to something we care more about. And in, you know, the fitness journey I'm on right now, I know that I have a specific amount of miles I'm running tomorrow. So I'm not going to go out and drink 5 drinks tonight with the girls, right? Might sound fun. Maybe that's what I did in college, but I can't do it tonight because I know tomorrow it's going to affect my goal of being able to check off that box, right? The accountability of running the mileage that I set on my calendar to run tomorrow. Same thing with your financial goals. If your goal is a Europe trip next year that's going to cost $10,000 or $15,000 because you want it to be perfect, then you're not going to go on that impromptu trip over this weekend and spend $500 at the casino. You're just not, because you're grounded in knowing this is what I want to do. You know, this is what I'm saving up for. And I'm saying no to this impromptu expense or this kind of sporadic expense because it's not in line with what I'm saying yes to in the future, what I care more about. So better decision-making power. Why else is writing down your goals really valuable? Well, you can track your progress. If we've got these written goals, we can track your progress towards these goals. And we can measure how far you've come to celebrate small wins and adjust as we need to. A goal without a plan is just a wish. I literally want to write that in a quote and just put that up on my desk, right? A goal without a plan is just a wish. And so tracking our progress towards that goal can be really impactful at actually helping us get there instead of just mentally thinking about wanting to get there. My progress with my training right now, my distance is getting longer. I'm not having to stop for longer distances, which is really exciting to me. And I know that because I'm tracking it, right? I have my calendar that I stare at. I know how many miles I was supposed to run on the days, and I'm tracking how long I've been going, what my mileage is, and how long I have been running without having to stop. So tracking that progress, to me, it's become fun. And I know in the financial planning space, I've had many clients where we're tracking progress towards paying down debt. That could be credit cards or personal loans or consumer debt of some kind. And I have this little debt schedule calculator where we plug in all the debts that we owe, the interest rates we have, the balances, and the required payments. And we play around with, you know, what is going to be the best way to tackle this debt with the available cash flow we have at hand. Do we need to restructure it in some way? Do we need to just pay extra per month? So we kind of back into what we're doing with our plan here. And that tracker spits out a schedule to show us how much we need to be paying each month to each card or each debt. And then once one debt is paid off, either we're doing like a snowball approach or an avalanche approach, where we're taking what we have paid off. So let's say we paid off a card that was taking $500 a month from the spending. That card's paid off. We take that $500 that we don't have to pay towards that anymore and snowball it into the next debt. And that gives us a visual, and it does the math for us on when we're going to be out of the debt, how much it's going to save us in interest over time. And it gives us a schedule, like I mentioned, on where our balances should be at any point in time. Tracking that progress for my clients who are trying to work their way out of debt has been very helpful because they can visually see every month what their progress is going to look like if they stick to the plan. And they can see the end goal too. They see, when are we going to be done with this? And if I was able to put an extra $100 a month towards this, how much extra interest could that save me? And so when we're tracking our progress, it can really increase, this is going to be my next point, but increase your motivation towards that goal. It gets you excited about that goal, where if it's just an arbitrary goal that we said, we're not tracking, we're not consistently making good decisions or about working towards that goal, we're not keeping ourselves accountable, so we're not being, you know, we're not being consistent, like I mentioned, and we're not clear on exactly what the goal is. If that's the case, then of course we're not going to be feeling good about working towards that goal, because where's the plan? How are we getting there? And what is our progress? So tracking the progress could be really helpful. And I mentioned increasing motivation. A written goal really does serve as a constant reminder of why you're making these smart financial choices, which keeps you motivated, even when impulse spending can call your name. So I mentioned the impromptu trip. It could be superb marketing in Target at the end of the aisle. Oh my gosh, it's something that's we have to have for our house, right? That impromptu impulse desire to buy something could be curbed by having this clarity and focus, this accountability, this better decision making, and this progress tracking. All of these things together with our written goals could help us make better decisions and help us curb some of the things that really derail a plan or keep us stagnant. Because at the end of the day, I think that's a lot of times what happens is people set these financial goals or these arbitrary things they say that they want to accomplish. And 5 years from now, there's not much progress because there wasn't actually a plan to get there. So I think that I beat that to death, right? So let's move on to the different styles or the different types of written financial plans. There's a couple different styles, a couple different forms, depending on the goal itself or the level of detail that you want or the preferred planning style. So let's talk about a couple different approaches, because one may work for you, but wouldn't work for your sister or for your spouse. So we have to look at a couple other options, and that's okay. But the first one I'll mention is the classic comprehensive financial plan approach. This is best for those who want a very full, very in-depth roadmap of their financial future. And this covers everything. This covers budgeting, savings, debt management, investments, your retirement planning, insurance, taxes, touches into estate planning even. This is fully comprehensive. And this is a lot of times what a traditional financial planning firm will offer, is they will offer this comprehensive financial plan package. Usually you have a couple meetings with the financial planner that build this out, and they slap a giant book, you know, your financial plan, 100-page document, 85-page document with everything written out on how to accomplish whatever goals you told them you want to accomplish. And this could include projections, different scenarios, some analysis on different things that you mentioned you want to consider. And then it would include action steps as well. And this is really, it's great for those who want that one time, here's everything I need to do, all pulled together for me, and I'm going to go implement it on my own. Or maybe the financial planner you're working with helps you implement these things or some of these things along the way. Kind of depends on the planner you're working with. This, I think, is great, but can also be very overwhelming for someone who's first getting started. So your biggest goals and your biggest concerns might be, I want to figure out my student loans. I want to buy a house in the next couple years. I'm going to start my family soon, so I want to think about saving for my kids' education. And, oh yeah, I want to also make sure retirement looks okay. You're someone who that classic financial comprehensive plan would be like the Cadillac of options for a written financial plan, but maybe a couple other of these options might be better for you. So let's kind of go through a couple other options. Next is the one-page financial plan. I think these are getting a little more popular, and these are best for folks who want simplicity and clarity. And what it does is it boils down the key financial priorities into a single page, focuses on those top goals, income, expenses, investments, and then your next steps. And it's really great for those who don't want to get lost in all the details, but still want a really solid plan. So classic comprehensive financial plan, you're someone who really wants to get into the details, and or you're concerned about the long term, and you really want to get right with everything in your financial life right now. And you're committed to doing that. That's the other thing, is it's not effective if a financial planner puts that down on your desk or on the table, and it's something that you open once while you're at the office and then don't open ever again, right? Because I see that happen sometimes too. But the one-page financial plan might be a little more your speed if you're really just trying to get started, trying to get on the right track right now. You know, it's more focused, more condensed, and this could be basically a recap email from a financial planner. It could be your financial plan that you've kind of written out for yourself, the goals that you specifically want to accomplish, you just wrote down in a one-pager or an email to yourself or a sticky note on your desk. Covers a couple different areas of your finances. This is probably the most common, and this is what SLP Wealth will do most often. This, along with the next style, which would be the goal-based plan. Goal-based plan, this would be best for those who have very specific targets. So I specifically want to buy a house. I specifically want to retire early at 45 and have $6,000 a month coming in from my retirement money. I specifically want to pay off my loans in the next year. You have a couple very specific goals. And what this does, this style of like writing out your goals, would be breaking down those goals into short-term, mid-term, and long-term categories. That would be a good start. And we're probably going to be really zoning in on the short-term to really kick things off. And it's going to include estimated costs, saving strategies, and timelines to accomplish those things. So we talked about the folks I've worked with in the past where a debt pay down plan is really helpful, really impactful, because they could see the progress of that game plan. That would be a great example of a goal-based plan. That person wants to get out of debt, and we've created a very specific financial target of getting out of debt with a specific schedule on how much we're paying towards the debt, how we're structuring it, and we have a timeline on when we're going to be done, how much interest it's going to cost us, and how much we need to be putting towards that goal per month. I think what's great about this is it is also very simple, just like kind of a one-pager financial plan style here. It's even more specific, I would say, but it does still allow for flexibility and adjusts as life changes. That's a little different than that first option I mentioned, the comprehensive financial plan option. That's probably my biggest gripe with that style of planning is a financial planner, typically, that's who's preparing that, will put together that big comprehensive financial plan. And the second they print it out or the second they send it to you as a PDF, it's out of date tomorrow, basically, because life changes. Numbers change, your finances change, your family situation changes. So it's classically comprehensive and very thorough with the information we have today, but 6 months from now, 5 years from now, it's going to be out of date. So it needs to be updated on a regular basis. And I think when you have like a goal-based plan, you can pivot a little faster because naturally we're looking at a couple different things, not everything. So I think a goal-based plan or a one-page kind of financial plan where we're writing out a couple different things we want to accomplish, like these two are probably the best place to start and you build off of that over time. Now, I don't want to miss out on talking about options for business owners or self-employed folks, but you guys need to write out your financial goals as well, just like an individual does for their personal finances. I'm sure you have your own business and self-employment financial goals. So this is, of course, best for entrepreneurs, freelancers, practice owners, you know, folks that have maybe a side gig. Focuses on business revenue. So the goals could be defined as to how much revenue do you want to bring in? The goals could also be around keeping expenses in a certain parameter. So focuses on revenue, expenses, tax planning. We always want to be very tax efficient, and retirement savings. So that might just be like, what kind of retirement plan can we have if we're self-employed or own a business? This will include, though, you'll want it to include cash flow projections and business investment strategies. So what are we investing in over time? We've got money coming in, expenses going out, we're paying ourselves what we are paying ourselves. What do we want to turn around and reinvest in the business over time? That's an important thing to list out as well. And this can certainly help you separate your personal and your business finances by having written goals for both. Now, later on in life, it may become more and more important to have a retirement roadmap or a written plan for your retirement specifically. And this is going to be best for those planning for financial independence and/or retirement, and you've got some specific goals there that you want to start working towards. So it'll focus in on retirement savings strategies, your withdrawal plan, like how are we going to take money out of the accounts that we're saving into, and then what your income sources will be. And it's definitely going to need to include some tax-efficient strategies for distribution. So making sure that we've got a game plan for where are we taking money out, how are we going to be tax-efficient, that can be part of our written goals there. And may need to have some contingencies for healthcare costs and also maybe a plan for longevity risk, kind of planning for that later in life timeline, which is still probably, hopefully, going to be a pretty long timeline for you. The biggest bill we're ever going to have is retirement. So having some written goals and having a thought out roadmap here for your retirement is crucial. And lastly, another idea for how we could write out a financial plan could be a written out automated plan or a set it and forget it type of automation plan with our finances. And this is really going to be best for folks who want to set up systems and not have to worry about micromanaging their finances. But you know, I've mentioned before, I'm a big fan of automation and keeping things simple, taking the decision out of having to do something with your finances or with your savings and with your goals, of course. So automation can be very valuable here. You could use automated savings, automated investing, automated bill payments to stay on track naturally. So having that written goal to do the things that you want to do, set up some automated savings towards that. This will involve maybe employing your employer plan to increase your 401k contributions, setting up reoccurring transfers into savings, or setting up bill pay, automated bill pay for bills and things that you need to pay. So definitely ideal for a busy professional, who a lot of you guys are. It could be helpful to execute on that written financial plan that you have. All right, so we talked about different styles of written financial plans. At the end of the day, though, so I talked about a lot of different options. The best financial plan is the one that you're actually going to follow. So keep things simple. Don't make things too complicated. Pick something that seems to vibe with how you typically operate, and employ the help of a financial planner if you need some assistance, or a consultant if you need some assistance. SLP Wealth, we're here if you need a financial planner. We employ a couple of different strategies here depending on our client and what the needs are. But how can you make your own financial goals start working for you? How can we start to write out your goals and make sure that we're working towards them? I would say a couple steps here. One, just write them out. Take a physical notebook, a digital document. There's financial planning apps out there that you could use. Start to write out those financial goals. This is step one in our financial planning process as well. When you start working with us as a financial planning client, there's a questionnaire that we send you to complete, which gives us some basic information about you, some factual details about your finances, but it does spend some time asking you about your goals. And that's most certainly going to be the first conversations we're having in that very first meeting together is, you know, what are your financial goals? How can we're working on shaping them to be more and more smart goals, right? Measurable, actionable, something we can track. And that's going to kick off the process to start working towards them. Again, make them specific. So you want to say invest 15% of your income instead of just save more. That's another example. You want to say pay $1,000 extra towards my debt versus, you know, just get out of debt. That makes the $1,000 a month extra gives us a specific number to work on and make sure we're checking the box off for. Review and adjust. A financial plan is not set in stone. You will have to update things over time, and that's okay. So don't stress if your written financial goals change over time or need to adjust over time. That is okay. Get an accountability partner. Get a financial planner, a spouse, even sticky notes or something that you taped up on your bathroom mirror like I did. Get an accountability partner to make sure that you are following what you said you wanted to accomplish. And you've got something to look at or someone to face to answer to, right? Could be a person, could be something physical that you wrote down that you just look at, but that's going to help keep you accountable. And then automate what you can. Use automated savings, debt payments, investments. Automate as much as you can to take a lot of the decision and the extra work out of it and to help you consistently work towards your goals with little thought. So my challenge for you today is to write down one specific financial goal that you have. I don't care where you write it down. You can write it down on a sticky note in your phone. You can text it to yourself, text it to your spouse, your best friend. Write down one specific financial goal that you want to accomplish, and let's start working towards that goal. Thanks for hanging out with me today, and I will at some point keep you updated on my 10K goal that I've got for my running. It's going pretty well so far. Got done with my run right before this recording, actually. So feeling pretty good. And I think your financial goals, if we're writing them out, we're getting clear, we're keeping ourselves accountable, making good decisions there and tracking our progress, you're going to be crushing your goals this year as well. 2025 is going to be a good year. Let's get at it. Have a great weekend, and I will catch you on the next one.
What if you could get fiduciary financial planning specific to your profession that's student loan aware that could change your life for a price much better than you ever dreamed possible? If that sounds good to you, go to slpwealth.com/pod for a free, no obligation, 15-minute intro call with one of our own fiduciary financial planners to see if we could be a good fit for you. This podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered individualized investment advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, do not consider it a recommendation to buy or sell the investment. Seek first advice from a financial professional before implementing any strategies discussed. All investments involve risk, and past performance does not guarantee future results. Yay, compliance.